Okay.
Take a hall pass.
Bobby, as you watch it go through the process of scripting, one, were you involved in any way in the scripting at all?
Yes, I wasn't doing any writing, but I was consulted. Yeah. So
in other words, you're watching slowly and slowly pieces of the book falling away from the script. You're watching it being pared down.
Yeah.
Emotionally, does that hurt to see a book become a film in that sense?
Well, I think many authors feel that, and many authors are very protective or very proprietary, and I was determined not to take a high and mighty attitude of like that. I was thrilled that it was being considered as a movie, and I was very pleased all along at the consideration and seriousness that they were giving the subject, and also I felt that the topical nature of it, the subject was not mine to protect in a
way.
Interesting
point. The Agent Orange aspect of it, for example, in 1984, that was an issue that was just getting aired out
in
veterans.
Yeah.
In 1989, obviously, that shifts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you describe
yeah.
that process about Agent Orange sort of falling away from the movie.
Well, and also, I felt in the novel that Agent Orange was it wasn't really the main a significant issue. It was sort of a catalyst to get Sam on the road to asking questions. And she had this great imagination, and so she thought Emmett had a rash on his face, and she jumped to conclusions. And, you know, the book never says whether he had Agent Orange or not.
Right, right. But in 5 years, questions about Agent Orange aren't going to be the same as they
were
in 84, are they?
So no.
You saw a conscious shifting away from that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you dwell on Agent Orange a lot.
Yeah. I was glad the movie didn't, though. Even if it had been made in 84, I think that would have been...
Did you go on the set of the film a great deal or at all?
A few times.
And how was that feeling? I mean, did you get an urge to make suggestions?
No. The first time Esther took me out there into the Ballard Wildlife area, and we came in from behind. I saw Bruce and Emily in those plaid shirts from behind, and they were standing by the tree, and she had her arm around him. And didn't I burst into tears?
I think she was so moved.
There was Sam and Emmett. It wasn't Bruce and Emily. It's Sam and Emmett, and it was overwhelming. It was so emotional.
From what in your own background come the stories, the incidents, the knowledge of the Vietnam conflict itself? Anybody in your own immediate environment, people you talked with?
No.
Even the term in country wasn't known so much until recently.
Right. The only autobiographical aspect of the novel is just the character of Sam, who I identify with a bit.
But even to the male name, so-called male name.
And I don't know how that... I mean, that just came out of my subconscious. I don't remember naming her Sam. It just happened very early.
Okay, but the information about veterans and stuff, where does that come from?
Research.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In your town?
No. Books.
Really?
Yeah.
No oral histories going on in the researching of your book?
No, I read oral histories. No. I was scared to go out and talk to vets. I was scared of writing about the subject. And I thought...
Why were you frightened?
Well, I felt it was very risky for me to take on the subject as a woman and as someone who hadn't been there. And it was just the usual writer's inhibitions, I think, getting started on a story. But as I went along with it, I realized that I didn't want to go out and ask them their stories, because I didn't want to take their stories away from them.
And, do you think her fears make her the perfect person to write a story like this, in a way, paradoxically?
I'm not sure that I understand your question.
In other words, she's approaching it from a non-involved point of view, a non-experience. experienced point that, of view. That was more of an observer, maybe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't know that that was... No, actually, I did know. We had talked about that.
Well, I think in retrospect, I had an advantage over say, a veteran trying to write a story. You know, there have been many eloquent writers to come out of the veterans group, but I think it must be much harder for them. I could make it up. I hadn't been there, so I didn't have the level of pain that they would have in trying to write about it.
So in fiction, maybe is a greater truth than in the document itself.
I don't know. I read lots of those histories, and I absorbed their voices, and I got so I couldn't read any more of them. It was too painful, and it was like I got the idea, but I knew I could never really know what it was like, and I tried to transmit that into Sam's experience. She thought she had a gory imagination, a horrible imagination, and she told Emmett that, in the novel anyway, that if he wouldn't tell her what it was like, then she would just imagine it worse than it was, and he says, no, you couldn't do that. And so in the swamp where she imagines it, it's still not totally really the way it was. It's surrealistic. It's dreamlike. It's not... she can't imagine... She can't really know what it was really like, but... We all get the idea.
It is sort of the point that landscape there could be a Vietnam.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think I can't actually answer your question. I think that what Bobby wrote was about characters now whose lives were shattered by an experience that happened 20 years ago, not directly to them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think most of the other people who have written about Vietnam who were there have written about the Vietnam experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think... This story in the book and the film are about these people's experience, these characters, this family's.
Like Bob.
I was just going to say that. You know, that's the kind of point of view I could write about most authentically. I think the war started coming out in my mind and my imagination about the same time it started to resurface in the American consciousness. So it takes a while for those things to come out.
How much of Sam?
When I was her age, I was much too... I wasn't outspoken and spunky the way she is. I was much too shy. And I wasn't a runner then, but I'm a runner now. I always was very fond of popular music, and I was always an outsider and a little bit rebellious. So
she's just partly you.
Partly, yeah.
Can I add to that?
To University of Kentucky, where Sam was.
So does she?
Probably had it,
right.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to come back to a little town,
uh-huh.
but to never leave it in the first place is maybe... point of tragedy something.
Yeah, like her boyfriend Lonnie probably will never leave. And Dawn, maybe.
So you were contacted about the film version before the...
Dawn is, I think, feels that thrill. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, I was determined not to have a real high, mighty author's attitude about this.
She was wonderful.
Did you get any extra work? Did you do any in the background area?
No. Oh, actually, if you look carefully, if you see it again, my family photographs are on the set inside the house. There's a picture of me, an 8x10, when I was a college sophomore. I think it's on the mantle or somewhere in the living room. And I have a pixie haircut.
Now this is in whose house?
In
Emmett's house. Somewhere.
I'm curious about your working process. You said you read a lot. Were you reading the material? Do you do the background material and then finally sit down and plot the book and then write it?
What do you mean we're in the
script? The very opening. When did that idea come into... I mean, you depart radically from the opening of the book.
I think it came into it... I'm trying to think exactly when. At some point... When we were working with Frank Pearson, I think he...
I invented that, and maybe in my reading I had come across bits and pieces of... Well, I don't remember reading anything like that, actually. But and I had not known the vets from Western Kentucky. But after I met them and after the movie started filming, they told me that they have what they call memorabilia evenings where they get together. And they said that what I wrote was exactly like what they go through, and that they
you
have
to wait that long to have it confirmed.
Yeah, and they have this dance, and nobody comes, and people get into arguments, and then and the whole thing. They said it was it's amazing to me sometimes that I write things that turn out to be true and not just made them up.
So, did you actually stage a dance?
Yes.
Veterans in the background. I mean. Tell us about that whole setup.
Well, we when we started just before we were going to start filming in Paducah and Mayfield, we made contact with the local Vietnam Vets Association, which Gordon Williams, sitting over there, who you have met or will meet, is the head of, and they had kind of evenings or reunions once a year, once every 6 months, and they decided to have one right before, a few days before we started filming, and they brought memorabilia, and we met them, they met us, and there seemed to be a real rapport, and they were very excited and moved and interested by what we were doing, and as we got to meet them, I don't know if the showing of the memorabilia, I don't remember this, if it was already in the script, I think perhaps not. I think perhaps that came from this this meeting, which you were there. Do you remember?
Yeah.
In the hotel, and then out of that, we decided to use some of the guys.
The black soldier with the back.
Yes.
How they did it, but when I visited the sets and saw the way all the set decorators and the prop people had put together the backgrounds. I could tell, and everybody there had a worn copy of In Country. They were reading it to death just to get it all right. I was amazed. And as far as an interior vision, I'm not sure I quite understand that, but I was trying to say that my vision of it was really pretty flexible, and so when Richard would call up and say so-and-so might be interested in playing Bruce, then I would sort of imagine that and get used to that for a while. Somebody was interested in playing Sam.
Did you ever have an idea of yourself before they said?
No, I didn't. And when I was writing the book, I never thought about it as being a movie.
Do you think of future?
As I was writing, I think I did think of them riding in that car. I could see that in the movies. I just said that it wasn't cinematic, but I mean to start out. But I saw that as a journey at the end, and I visualized that the way I would see it in a movie, because the landscape was important to me and the idea of the journey. So I was conscious of that being like a movie. But the rest of it, I didn't think about the movies. But
were you tempted when you sold it to retain any form of control as opposed to selling it outright?
That option wasn't really open to me. I don't think the character think those things.
Mr. Rolfe, to whom did you take this book? I get the idea you were the advocate for the
yes,
book.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Was it a difficult sale to make?
No, I took it to...
Bobby, when did you make your first trip to the wall? This seems to be an ongoing question this morning.
In the spring of 83, and I tell a little about that in the press kit somewhere. Okay. Yeah.
Have you left anything there?
No.
Have you left any articles there?
No. Whenever I go there, well, the first time I went there, I saw it through Sam and Emmett's eyes and Mamma's eyes. So it was like, it wasn't totally my experience, but I was seeing it through these characters' eyes. And every time I go back, I'm always experiencing the fiction as well as... It's like seeing it at different levels.
Silliest question of the day, I'm sorry, but is there really a Dwayne Hughes written on a wall? Or that whole wall was a reconstructed?
It was reconstructed.
Prompt.
Uh-huh.
What? Can I ask you? You brought up a good question. Excuse me, man. The wall is such a powerful thing. And
And it's really kind of a mystery to me where it's
there. It was pouring down rain the first time I went there, and I didn't expect, I imagine as many people don't expect, it to just hit me like a tornado. It just takes your breath away. So
do you know why that happens? What is it about? The immensity of all those names?
I have a thought about it, which I was just thinking about when I was watching the movie last night. I don't know if this is right or not, but it's something about the form, the concavity of the form. I was thinking about the fact that people leave mementos there. And in fact, the last time I went there, I was just in Washington and stopped by to look at it, and I read a letter from a younger brother to an older brother who had died, and I was started crying when I read this letter. It just I don't think there are other memorials that I've been to where people go and give offerings to.
It's also the fact that you can see the edge of the grass along the top. Yeah. The whole thing is like a mass grave.
It reflects and it receives, and it's quite, to me, an extraordinary design that has great emotional.
There's even a moment when Boyd's camera pans over to the wall and we see the characters as reflections, not
Right.
Well, I remember when I was writing it, it almost wrote itself. All I had to do was just record it as a journalist almost, just to write down all those facts, the things that were left, the people there, the grass. And I put in about a dozen or more images. It would change from a boomerang to the shape of the Paducah Mall to a bird's wings, an airplane, and reflections, and it was all there. It's a very busy place visually. It's just there's just so much going
because
on.
Because in theory, it's minimalist.
Yeah. It's incredible.
But it is very busy, and that's a minimalist monument.
And I was going to say that was actually the easiest part of the book to write, because the emotion was just so clear, and there it was, and there was nothing else to say. This is it.
And somebody stands by with a ladder in case you need to go up higher to trace the name?
Yeah, they do. What I never actually realized that, because when I went there, it was just as I wrote it in the book. Somebody had defaced one of the names, and some workmen were on a ladder trying to fix it. So I got the idea that Mama would climb the ladder. But apparently now the Park Service has a ladder handy for people to climb.
Uh-huh. Might have evolved out of your book. You might have made that contribution.
I doubt that, because it seems like a necessity for people to get up there and reach the names.
Are there names on that wall that you know?
No, but in the press kit, it tells what I mentioned before. The first time I went there, just quite by accident, I found my own name.
Pardon?
I found my own name on the wall. The middle initial was different. It was Bobby G. Mason. And since then, I found out that there are five guys named Robert Mason on the wall. And I mean, the first one I just discovered by accident. And it's a funny thing to think about somebody who has the same name as you.
Yeah. Same question to you? Anybody you know on that?
No, there isn't. Although I think that people are. Norman, Jewis and I were talking about this. It has become a major attraction in Washington of the monuments, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I think
yeah.
He was telling me that, and the Space Museum are the two now more significant than the Lincoln or Washington or Jefferson memorials.
At what point did you meet Norman Jewison in this process?
Me? Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. I do find it kind of odd to hear about literary discussions. people talking about gender issues in Emmett and the Skirt, for example.
Really?
Yeah.
In somebody's computer right now. Yeah. But have you talked in classrooms as well?
Oh, yeah. I've been been to a number of visiting classes.
Are any of your other movies going to, have books going to be made into movies?
Spence plus Lila. Yeah, I've been writing the screenplay myself, in fact.
Oh, really?
And Richard is involved in wanting to produce and direct it.
Great.
Yeah.
You two are going to be a partner.
We're a
yeah,
team.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to go on the road.
Right.
And are you a writer of the old school with a battered Remington?
No, no, no.
Strictly
no,
modern
rock and roll radio
discs.
And computer.
Yeah.
What?
Floppy disks.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
I hate to do this, but I'm going to
I don't think I answered your question about Bruce and Emily. You were asking me about the cast.